everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob, I like the hat. Bob, our producer, engineer, sporting a Tucson, the Sugar Skulls, the new indoor football team that will begin playing. I like that logo a lot for the Sugar Skulls. The Buckmaster Show, of course, we're here Monday through Friday on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, for our new logo. We like this. Trusted local news and talk. I can understand that because I like to call myself Tucson's most trusted voice, so it fits very well in with what we're doing. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We have pretty much every show, John Munger and Vince Ravago, that we have done. We started the show in January 2011, and you gentlemen, I think, have been with me pretty much the whole time.
We're growing old with you, Bill.
Yeah, on the radio, and then for years with me on TV. So, heck, the three of us sitting here are growing old together, I guess, right? Especially, Mr. Munger, with your birthday next week, and mine is coming up on Sunday, so we're both a couple of Sagittarians.
Happy birthday in advance to the both of you.
No,
We're Sages.
Yeah, we are.
Sagittarians. And my friend Terry Bracey, his birthday is actually Monday, the 17th. So there you go. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Gentlemen, it's a busy time of year. Vince, how was your weekend? Getting ready for Christmas?
That's right.
With the kids?
That's right. A lot of things going on this time of year.
So. You guys going to get a tree, or what are you going to go? Go that route?
What we're doing.
Yeah, one of the cut trees.
We
live trees for a few years, but tried to plant them and they didn't do that well.
Yeah, well, we have a very, very nice artificial tree.
Uh-huh.
And so we'll probably continue using that, although I love getting the live tree. I have done that in the past many years.
Yeah, it's nice to have that.
Well, what you can do also is if you do have a good artificial trees, you can always just go down to the tree lots and you just pay them a couple bucks and they'll give you some trimmings and it gives you the same exact effect. As having a tree, because it's the same effect in terms of the smell of the pine and so forth.
Good idea. Good tip there from Vince Ravago. What about you, John?
We do that over the fireplace. We put trimmings and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. All lighted up and it's really pretty.
All right, let's begin our topic today. President Donald Trump's former national security advisor provided so much information, John and Vince, to the special counsel on the Russian investigation that the prosecutors say he shouldn't do any prison time, according to a court filing that describes Michael Flynn's cooperation as substantial. Both of you gentlemen, of course, John Munger and Vince Ravago, are attorneys, well-known attorneys here in town. What does that mean to you, Vince?
Well, it means exactly what it says. I mean, he provided a substantial cooperation to the point where the prosecution was comfortable saying, he should be convicted but not actually have to serve time. And so, you don't have to be an attorney to figure that one out in terms of whatever he has given, which we don't know what the information is, as though, the information is largely redacted and of course, even with those sorts of sentencing reports, when a sentencing report does get filed, those are summaries. So even those are going to be sort of truncated, summarized versions of what has been provided. And from what has been stated in these court filings, the cooperation and the information obtained has been substantial and in use for several other pending criminal investigations.
John, is this tightening the noose around the president? Or Triton, the net, perhaps.
I don't see it. First let's talk about what General Flynn was convicted of. He was convicted of a charge of lying to the FBI, not on any substantive charges related to collusion at all. So Apparently he told a mistruth or a fib to the FBI. It's interesting to note that several of the FBI agents who investigated him did not have said publicly they did not think he was lying, but he was charged anyway by the Mueller people, regardless what the other FBI agents thought. He was charged with lying, and they have very little against him substantively. I don't think they have anything against him substantively related to the collusion, nor do I think that he has anything on collusion. The interesting part of this whole investigation, so I don't know what he has possibly to contribute at all. I think the...
You were saying the most interesting thing about...
The most interesting thing about it is that the way this whole investigation has moved on. There is Comey himself, Director Comey, has said there's he knows of no smoking gun on collusion. Other FBI agents have said the same thing. Nobody, the Washington Post came out yesterday and said there's no evidence of collusion. So they're now passing the collusion charge. They've now passed by the second charge they tried to come up with, which is obstruction of justice. And they moved on to a third charge that President Trump paid off two ladies. One was Stormy Daniels. The other was a Playboy playmate that he allegedly had sex with back in 2006 or 8. And he paid them off during the campaign. Actually, they were paid off by his lawyer. And I have to say that there's no smoking gun there. Every lawyer working in the business area, every settlement you make with people says you will not discuss this with anyone. Here's some money. Do not discuss this with anyone. Happens all the time, every day. So what Trump's lawyer did is something that every lawyer does virtually every day.
Okay.
And I just don't see the issue. So they're failing to come up with a collusion charge, failing on obstruction. Now they've moved on to try to come up with something else.
Vince has a completely different take, I think, on this.
Well, absolutely. I can talk about what this all means in a moment. But to claim that this is just some sort of a what has been the sort of the mantra of sort of the talking heads that are trying to be apologists for what appears to be significant criminal conduct surrounding the president's campaign and officials in his office. The mantra seems to be, oh, these are just lies about sort of procedural things, and therefore this is a procedural case. These are process crimes. That's the mantra, and what you see in the talking heads and trying to say, oh, therefore there's nothing and therefore no collusion. And Trump sort of tweeted this weekend, oh, totally exonerates me or something of that nature. The reality is, if you wanted, let's drill down each one. For example, Michael Flynn, National Security Advisor, on the eve of all of this information coming out about Russia trying to help Trump. Now, let's get this straight. Whether they actually had any substantive effect on the election or not, that is beside the point. The point is you have a foreign power trying to influence our elections, and you have a campaign who then claimed that there were no contacts, we didn't have any involvement, and it immediately... After a few months into the administration, you have the National Security Advisor who was caught having dealings with the Russians behind the scenes before the administration even took office in January. And the requests of the Russians in those meetings were to go soft on Russia with respect to certain sanctions and with respect to certain policies. So what that represents in the biggest picture possible for all those listeners out there is don't get hung up on all this, oh, there's the word of collusion. The reality of what is happening here is we have a foreign power trying to influence elections in this country, and then you have senior officials who have lied about those contacts. Now, you can watch, you don't have to be a lawyer, you can watch all those mob movies or whatever criminal justice movies, whether it's Law and Order. When people are lying about activity, there's no reason to lie if it's legal. And so the reality is you have senior officials lying and trying to cover up these communications and these contacts with the Russians. And so then when you start seeing all these other people start pleading guilty, it's largely about them trying to hide what the administration and what the president himself has lied about, which is there was no contact, my campaign wasn't involved with the Russians. And so we can also come back and tie this back to this question of collusion. You can look every day, all day long as you want, in the federal criminal code. There is no word saying the crime of collusion. What we are talking about is there are conspiracies to cover up things. There are conspiracies to obstruct justice. There is, aside from that, which is just in general, we have abuse of power, which is not a crime, but is an impeachable offense. And so when you start having actual crimes that are tied directly to the president, such as the Cohen guilty plea, where they say that at the direction of and with the coordination of quote-unquote individual one, and you have a crime that was committed, that is serious big stuff. All right. So all this stuff saying there's no collusion or there's no smoking gun, that there's never going to be a smoking gun. That's not the point. The point is the crimes that occurred and the efforts to hide them by lying, which have been detailed by numerous convictions already. That is a significant issue
for
American democracy.
You should convict somebody even though there's no smoking gun, and you should take somebody who lied to the vice president, which is General Flynn. He lied to the vice president himself, so he lied to the administration.
Okay.
And he lied to the FBI, and even though, I'll just repeat, even the Washington Post says there is no evidence of collusion.
All right, Vince, you hold your rebuttal to that, and we'll be back with Vince Robigo and John Munger on our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Want to tell you about also our favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. How about a Danish Kringle for your Christmas Eve morning? That would be really nice. Those Kringles, if you haven't been up there to Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, why not stop in, have lunch right now on that the bread that their sandwiches come on is just delicious, so many varieties, out of the oven just a few hours ago. Then talk to the team up there about have a Danish Kringle. Take one home with you. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, a link to Mona's, or you can go directly to monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be back with John Munger and Vince Robigo on the Face-Off right after this. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. We are featuring today our commentators John Munger, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor, and Vince Robigo, longtime Democratic Party activist, also a well-known attorney in town, former Arizona attorney general candidate. Gentlemen, where do we go from here with all of this? Where do you think we're going? John.
Well, I think bottom line. I think that Mueller will not take any action on collusion or obstruction of justice, nor will Trump be indicted, as the Democrats hope he will, for these campaign contribution violations. I want to note that President Obama had campaign contribution violations of $2 million, far in excess of the $280,000 that Trump's charged with.
Can you indict a president?
You cannot. No. Number one, you can't indict a president.
Okay.
And number two, that what I'm saying is the charges against Trump are far less than they did not indict Obama for back related to campaign contributions in 2012 and 13. So he's not going to be indicted. I think he's not going to be charged with anything. And I think that what Mueller will do is he will draft an outrageous, condemning memo and send it to the House of Representatives to try and assist, as he's always tried to assist, the Democrats in impeaching Trump. I think that the Democrats may do exactly what we've said they're always going to do, try to impeach Trump, try to come up with some trumped-up charges, forgive me for the pun, and then it will go to the Senate, and the Senate, they won't get the two-thirds vote in the Senate, and life will go on.
All right, let's hear what Vince's version is going to be.
First and foremost, let me just say this. The Obama campaign was never alleged to have committed a criminal campaign violation. Repeat, the Obama campaign was never alleged by any government agency to have committed a criminal campaign violation.
And neither has
now,
the Trump
campaign. Instead, what happened was that the FEC, as they do with many campaigns all over the country, if they find a civil campaign violation of some rule, they fine the campaigns. That is a far different cry than a criminal campaign violation. And the Obama campaign, just like many others, did pay a civil fine. Now, what has been admitted to by the Cohen guilty plea is a criminal campaign violation. And so it doesn't matter the amounts. He's trying to confuse apples and oranges. The very different issue. The question is whether a campaign has illegally and intentionally tried to conceal something. And that is the grist of what Michael Cohen pleaded guilty to, and that it was done at the coordination and the direction of number one. But it goes beyond that. What it goes beyond to is that, if you remember, President Trump when he had commenced his campaign in early 2015. And what these other documents reveal also with the Cohen filing on Friday is that as late as May and through September of that year, that Cohen and the Trump administration were actually working to build a Trump Tower and a significant deal that would bring hundreds of millions of dollars to Trump personally. And
which never happened.
And that they concealed these efforts. And so ultimately, that's what this guilty plea was admitting. And what you have here is an effort to sort of obfuscate, compare apples to oranges, like I just demonstrated to you, when in reality, this is the first time that there has been a direct connection to. And I'm not saying they've charged President Trump with a crime.
No, they
and
haven't.
I have to disagree with him that you cannot do it. There is a policy in the past that a memo saying that a president could not be indicted. But if you look back to Jaworski during the Watergate filings, he himself was of the opinion that a president could be indicted if they were directly named as a criminal co-conspirator. Now, that issue has never been tested. Now, I believe that Mueller is going to probably exercise restraint and not try to charge the president as he's sitting there now. But what has to happen, in my view, is that Republicans have to stop putting Trump over America. They have to stop putting the Republican Party over
now
America.
Now we're on a different issue.
And what is happening here is that's what they're doing by trying to come up with these claims which are obfuscating. But if you look at what has happened,
okay,
the obstruction, you look at the issues of the emoluments case where he's benefiting and actually making money off of foreign governments, and you look at abuse of power, and then you look at these ties to the campaign finance, we have already exceeded the level of sort of the minimum standard of what was impeachable. And I'm not saying they should rush out to impeach him.
I
think they need to investigate.
Let me get
all of these issues
first of all,
and the monetary ties.
This emoluments clause, yes, Donald Trump looked in dozens of countries talking about a hotel. He did not put up a hotel in Russia. He got nothing. He doesn't own any hotels in Russia.
Talking
period.
About currently. Current payments is what I'm referring to when
he
I'm talking about emoluments.
He doesn't have. Now you're changing it. See, it keeps changing. Wait, let me finish.
Go ahead. But I wasn't referring to the emoluments violation.
Now we've passed up collusion. Then it goes to obstruction of justice. Then it passes up obstruction of justice. Now they're trying to move to violations of the campaign finance laws, which are normally treated as fines, as civil fines, which Obama paid on a $2 million campaign violation. Trump allegedly has a $280,000 campaign contribution problem, which they can't prove, and which every attorney does every day. The kind of settlement payoffs that happen every day throughout the country.
This is not true. This is not what I do, and
Vince,
it is not involving a presidential campaign. People do not involve major settlements and hush money involving a presidential campaign.
Every time the president pays a bill or settles a case on something that happened back in 2006, 2008, does that make it a campaign contribution? I don't think so. If the president goes in and goes to a fancier barber to get a better haircut one day and is because he's running for president, does that mean that's an illegal campaign contribution? I don't think so. So the point is that these things happen every day, and the Democrats are trying desperately to take an everyday business event and make it into a campaign contribution. There's no question President Trump himself could have paid these bills and probably would have paid the bills
except
directly.
He's lied about it.
No, he didn't lie about it.
That he exactly lied about it. He said he did not know about these. Well, and what has happened here.
But Vince, let me finish.
Go ahead.
So they keep moving the targets.
Not true.
They can't get one. They can't get another. They can't get another. Now Vince says, oh, they're going to be generous and walk away from it. Well, I
not
agree.
True. I'm not being generous. And I'm not walking away from anything.
You're talking about Mueller. I'm saying to you, Bill, that Mueller will walk away from it because he doesn't have a damn case.
Okay.
Well, first of all, when you say we'll walk away from him, Mueller doesn't represent anybody. He represents the independent counsel.
He will not file charges against Trump.
So when he says they're going to walk away from something, I've told you several areas where there are significant concerns. And what has happened here is this is not everyday lawyering. People are not involved representing a presidential campaign and then lying about it and not reporting
those
things.
They make those kinds of payments every day in everyday business, and that doesn't make it a campaign contribution just because it's done for a president.
Well, I'll tell you what,
billions of dollars worth of business.
We have a campaign crime that has been admitted by Cohen.
Yes, under pressure to save himself time in jail.
All right.
And you can say whatever you want about it, but that's what it is.
Guy's an admitted liar. He's lied to everybody on earth, and he made a deal to stay out of prison.
Well, let me just say that the independent counsel has corroborated seven different interviews with Cohen, and he pled guilty, and this ties it directly to the president, and you cannot walk away from that.
And
if you do, you're putting Trump over America.
What did he plead guilty to? He pled guilty to lying. The guy is a serial liar who has admitted it,
and he cannot be believed.
I agree that Mueller will not file any charges against Trump, period.
John Munger, thank you, John.
Thank you.
I hope you have a great Christmas.
Thanks a lot.
You Vince Robigo, hope you also have a wonderful Christmas.
Same for all of you.
Thanks a lot.
And your listeners out there as
well. All right. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our monthly interview segment featuring the monthly Scam of the Alert. It is presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. It's always a pleasure to welcome Suzanne Miller, Director of Communications and Consumer Affairs at the BBB. Suzanne, how are you?
I'm good. Happy holidays,
happy
Bill.
Happy holidays to
birthday.
You. Thank you very much.
Since birthday, I won't see you.
Yeah, coming up this weekend. So a lot going on. I was telling you that no one is immune these days to the hackers, the scams. Someone got a hold, I guess, of my credit card about a week ago, and luckily Citibank got on top of it. And so they issued a new card. But who knows where, you know, with all the violations that have been going on, the big one that happened with Marriott, who knows where they're getting the credit card information?
Right. You just really have to be careful about wherever, you know, you're putting your personal information. Remember, you're leaving a footprint, and people are getting your information from all different various sources.
Let's talk about some of the specific holiday scams going on. So many people shopping online. If you've been to the mall lately, you know that the malls are taking a big hit lately from all the online shopping, but that gives the scammers great opportunities.
It really does, and it goes back to what you were saying earlier where your credit card company called you. And when you're shopping online, just remember to always use your credit card and not your debit card, because when you use that, that information is out there, and if there's a breach like there was with the Marriott, then that information is out there, and they now have access to your actual cash on hand. So be really careful and always use a credit card. And also when you're shopping online, we used to always tell you that, you know, you want to use a secure site if you're putting in your personal information or your financial information. And up in when you actually type in the website address, that there's a little lock and there's an S with your HTTPS. And that is still important. It's telling you that it's a secure site, usually. Mm-hmm. But now scammers are actually making those sites look like it's legit by adding those features. And sure, it may be safe, but the information is going right to the scammer. So
they're lookalike websites.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you have to be really careful. And, you know, they may just add a letter or a number, you know, just to make it look like it's, you know, a legitimate manufacturer or company. And you just have to be very careful.
And then you get these shipping notifications that there's a package on its way to you, and you're thinking, well, maybe somebody sent it to me, but I didn't order it.
Right. And that's exactly how they get you, because they have you questioning, you know, what is the legitimacy of this? And so, you know, everybody is out there shopping online. So you're like, this is just one of the packages, you know, headed my way. And or that I sent to somebody else, and there's an issue and I need to address it. And a lot of times it's coming through on text messages now. So there's like a little bit.ly link that you just click on. When you click on that, that is opening yourself up for some malware, some, you know, viruses. So you want to be very careful. And if nothing, it's going to send you to a site that's going to take your personal and your financial information. So always, you know, if you've placed an order and you think, you know, this might be true, go to where you
go to the source.
The notification that you get after you place that order,
exactly.
And it gives you the tracking number. Click on that.
I'm a little leery of these. I know they're fun, and a lot of people like to do them. You mentioned my birthday coming up, and I'm sure that I'll have a few of these e-cards, these electronic greeting cards. But sometimes you feel like, do I really want to open this?
I know. And it's scary because you don't always know. But how, you know, some of them are so fun.
Yeah,
I
they
love
are.
The jib jabs, you know. And and so you want to, you know, you don't want to miss somebody's, you know, greetings to you.
Exactly. But there are red flags.
Yeah. And you really, you know, you just need to make sure, like when it says the sender's name,
mm-hmm.
is that really, you know, is that somebody I know? And then if it is, check with them first and say, hey, did you send me an e-card? And if they say yes, then, you know,
yeah.
you're good. But don't just link. Just don't click on it.
Even letters from Santa now are being corrupted.
I know. Our one and only Santa.
Is nothing sacred anymore? The letters.
I feel like I'm here to just like, you know, bah humbug
the
holidays.
I mean,
but we do want people to stay safe and you know, have a joyous holiday.
Jeez.
So I'm really telling you things to do to stay safe. But
yeah, I mean,
the letters from Santa, you know, you just, there's so many fake companies out there that do that. And of course, we know there's only one Santa.
Yeah.
So, and you know, he does, you know, have companies that work for him, but you better make sure that, you know, it's the right company and really do your, you know, your research by looking up, you know, reviewing the company that you're going to work with and, you know, look at what other people say and, you know, look at past history. That's really important.
You know, phony charities, they're all over the place as well this time of year.
I know, and it's so disheartening.
It
because
is,
we
because
have a beautiful
community.
There are
some
community.
Wonderful charities that need your support, but then there's
mm-hmm.
this group that try to compromise it.
Right,
yeah.
We destroy that generous mood
exactly.
of giving. But
yeah.
you know what? I think the biggest thing is to give you the resource of give.org. Give.org is our Wise Giving Alliance, and you can type in a charity and have them pull up and click on that link to learn more about the charity itself, but also to click on the link to their site to give. That way you're not, you know, just, you know, going to an unsolicited email that you get or a phone call. That's the big thing right now. You're getting a lot of unsolicited calls and
yes.
you don't know who's on the other end.
No.
So, you know, you may get some information, but don't give online. Don't give over the phone.
Gift cards, very popular right now, but be cautious.
Yes. So there's a few things with that. One is they're actually going and scanning those gift cards before you buy them. So they'll be going and, you know, heading around in the store and taking that information. So when they're sold, then they actually are activated and they're typing in the numbers to use them. The other thing is that they're actually just randomly trying numbers without, you know, just waiting for them to get activated and then use them before you use them. You know, a lot of people don't use their gift cards right away, so it gives them
right.
time. So you really have to be careful. Buy the gift cards that are packaged up that you can't see the information on the back of.
Also want to quickly go over some of these tips to stay safe during the holidays, or really even beyond the holidays, Suzanne Miller. It's important, I think, when people are gifting things, make sure there's a gift receipt. That's really important.
Well, it is because you know, you want them to be able to, you know, take it back if it's not just right. And the warranty information, make sure that they have that information. That's just general good, you know, common sense to do, because those gift receipts, especially if you buy gift cards and
mm-hmm.
somebody else has used them before the actual, you know, consumer gets it, the person that you're giving it to, you really need that information. So keep that on hand.
I'm a little leery of some of the public Wi-Fis.
Well.
I think that's really a point that needs to be brought up, that the public Wi-Fi is vulnerable to thieves and fraudsters.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely, Bill. That is a huge one because it's convenience for us now, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're in the stores and we want to see who's got what. And if we are looking at our bank accounts or our credit card accounts using a public Wi-Fi,
oh boy.
Thieves can be watching you and getting all of that information. It's not safe. So if you want to just do research, go for it. But if you're going to put in your personal information and your banking information, your financial information, do not use public Wi-Fi.
Let's talk about the BBB website. You guys have done such a great job with that. Folks can do their research there. They can look out for scams. They can find out about charities. It's a great resource.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah.
I really am grateful that the BBBM, not just because I work for the BBB, but it really is a great site, especially for charity review. You know, we've got that on there. We've got a lot of articles that are, you know, topic heavy when you have something that you're wanting to look into, and, you know, the general business directory when you want to hire a vendor, do your research first and just type in the information in the business directory.
And your scam alert, you're constantly updating that at BBB.
Yes.
.org.
And, that, you know, especially this time of year, if you think that you are being targeted with a scam, go to our scam tracker. And it is, you know, on our BBB.org website. And type in some keywords that you think, you know, kind of show what scam you're being targeted with, and see what other people are reporting about that, especially online. If there's a lot of scam online shopping sites, which is happening right now. Like, we have the websites of, oh, for our kids, and, oh, this store is completely out of them. And then all of a sudden this website pops up and it says, oh, we have them and they're half off. Oh, my goodness.
Like, you know, how did that's you a know miracle. That I was looking for that?
Right? And so, but it's a fake site and you'll never get the product. And you just gave all of your information to them. So
email phishing.
Be careful. Yeah, that's just, you know, like you said, this is all year round. This is just, you know, phishing via emails is huge right now. Like you'd mentioned, the e-cards, the email phishing is just the links that are in your, you know, from unsolicited people or from people you think you know. But if you really look at the email address, hover your mouse over the address, it's not what it appears to be. And so you really want to, you know, be careful about that. And if there's ever a link, you know, don't click on it. Figure out what the main What is it for, and go directly to that site.
BBB.org. Great job. Suzanne Miller, it's always a pleasure. We'll look forward to working with you in 2019. I want to wish you and yours a very joyous holiday season.
Oh, same to you.
Do you like bakery goods?
Oh, of course.
Oh, my goodness. Mona's Danish Bakery is our favorite bakery in town, home of the Danish Kringle. I mean, a Danish Kringle just seems like it goes with Christmas, doesn't it?
Holiday all over.
There you go.
Yep.
Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Chief baker and owner Steve, boy, they do such a lovely job. My favorite bread that they do is called a rustic bread, and I like the hot turkey sandwich. If you're out and about, stop by and order all of your pastries for Christmas morning, or Christmas Eve morning would be fun to have a nice.
Absolutely.
My favorite is the almond Danish Kringle.
Me too. So that is my favorite.
The almond. Mm. Oh, my goodness. And they don't skimp on the almond either with their Danish Kringles. It's packed with
all
that
right.
good almond paste. Mona'sDanishBakery.com for more. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. Christmas Eve is 2 weeks from today, so there's time to get over to Green Things and check out their thousands of poinsettias in every imaginable color. They grow them in their greenhouses at Green Things at 3384 East River Road. When you're over there buying your poinsettias, stop by the Zocalo Village. It's really like a 5 shops now, like a little Mexican village there with all this great merchandise. I mean, it is terrific, hand-carved furniture and things from Peru and Mexico and mesquite wood, really nice stuff. Also, Silver City and Grant County, one of our great sponsors, just a 3-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org, the complete listing of many great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. There's a great time of year to be over there in the high country and just hang out in historic Silver City, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show our contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, one of 24 contributors that we have to the program. Actually, we've got some great people, including Dr. Hendricks there, and they appear regularly on the program. Dr. Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. How are you today, Bob?
I'm doing well, Bill, and how about yourself?
Doing very well. It's a crazy time of year, and crazy being lots of things going on.
There is indeed.
You know, this article that you brought my attention to is really incredible about the headline is, who will decide which students get into college? Is it going to be a committee or, like so many things in our lives right now, technology? Is it technology and a computer going to decide whether you make the grade?
Well, if you remember last time on the show, we talked about universities eliminating standardized tests. The SAT and the ACT could be a thing of the past, with large universities eliminating it and other schools following that lead. And so now we're really going to be emphasizing the application and essays and interviews. Well, that's a really laudable goal, but universities are going to be facing a problem, and that is they have these thousands of applications and thousands of essays and potential interviews, and how are they going to evaluate them? The one thing about test scores, it's easy to read, easy to rank, very efficient. you can look at a student's test score and you can determine how they're, you know, how they're going to potentially do on campus. Now we have this other criteria, which is going to require more judgments. And how do universities manage these sheer numbers? For example, the U of A averages about 35,000 freshman applications a year. Some of the large universities in the country, maybe three times that number.
Right.
How do you sift through that? Well, this article suggests that technology might be the answer. And I would suggest that the future is now, because colleges can use that kind of a process if they want. And maybe they'll have to. I mean, we already know that computers are assisting in the selection process. Large employers, for example, are using online applications and resumes. And some of these companies who are inundated with applications are now using software packages designed to help sort through qualified applicants. For example, you can use algorithms, computer algorithms, to sort through particular characteristics, or you can use words, you can use phrases to identify particular skills that you're looking for an employee, language fluency, specific marketing experience. So if you're looking for keywords or key phrases, the computer can look through that and they can create a list for the employer of desirable characteristics and sort through those thousands of applications and come up with the initial qualifying applicants. And then from there, we get the human touch and we can take a look at those applications that kind of bubble up to the top.
But robots haven't taken over the admissions.
They haven't taken over the process.
It's still a human, I hope.
You know, another thing, and I'm not sure that your listeners are aware of this, but there has been a software package available for several years. U of A uses it, for example, called Turnitin. And students have to submit the essays that they write to this software company.
Huh.
And this company banks millions of essays. And you're able to set, as an instructor or as a university practice, specific parameters, and it will determine, in less than a day, if this essay has been used before.
Wow.
If it has been plagiarized.
Cut down on the plagiarism.
Right. And so you can use keywords to do that.
Let's see if we can work Chuck in real quickly. Chuck called us at 790-2040. Hey, Chuck. Chuck?
Good afternoon. Bill, are you aware of the situation we have at Gridley Middle School?
No, I'm not, but that's not really on topic, is it?
Well, it's not, but we're talking about money here for education, and okay. I think this is a pretty serious problem that we have at Gridley. We have no fire suppression system at all. It's worn out. It's old. It's out of date. They can't even fix it.
Is that a TUSD school?
Okay. Yes, it is.
All right. Well, I'll see what I can find out. Thank you, Chuck. Go ahead, Dr. Hendricks, wrapping up your thoughts on this, the computer or a committee.
Well, one of the things that universities can do is, and they have some of this research to indicate what is the profile of a successful student. And so, for example, let's say that there's a correlation between students who are active in extracurricular activities, or maybe they desire someone who is working in the community, fulfills some kind of civic duty, or maybe they want students who have demonstrated leadership, in high school, or who are avid readers, or who are socially active in environmental issues, or who demonstrate acts of kindness to other students, or who even can write an essay that grammatically is correct. A computer can sort through all those things and bring that list of students to the surface. And the university could use, the admissions department could use that information to sort through these thousands of applications and actually come up with a list of preferred candidates. Now, again, you know, an admissions committee is going to have to make those final decisions, but it's a good suggestion maybe that technology could help in this process.
As long as I don't think I'd be comfortable with then the computer doing everything and deciding.
Absolutely not.
So this is more of a tool you're talking
this
about.
This is really a way to assist to augment the process, you know, to provide an additional tool to an admissions process to bring students to the attention of admissions, particularly students that maybe are successful academically, but they want a little bit more dimension in a student's repertoire.
All right, Dr. Robert Hendricks, thank you so much, Dr. Hendricks. Hope you and yours have a lovely holiday season. Thanks.
Thank you, and same to you.
All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Dr. Hendricks and Robert Dio, Mr. Bob Dio, our engineer producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.